You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Hi, I'm Elliot Devon, and we're here at Owl Spirits and Music in Reform, Alabama, with the Three Song Sundays. I'm going to get started off with one I wrote with my friend Schaefer Yana called Shooting Star a few weeks ago. Here it goes.
Same day, my whole life.
The next one I've got is an older one of mine that I wrote sometime last year. And I won in April. I won the UNA songwriting competition with this song, and it's called Fell in Love Too Fast.
Thank you.
The next one I'm going to play is one I wrote with John Paul White. For winning the songwriter competition at UNA, the prize was a co-write with him, and this is the song that came out of that. It's called In the Way.
All right, welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. I have Elliot Devon here with us today. She played a three-song set for us here, live show coming. But you've already missed it because this drops on Tuesday. But I'm real excited to have Elliot here with us today. Hardest working girl in music right now. Elliot, how you doing?
Pretty good. This is my first time being on anything like this, so.
It's pretty laid back, pretty chill. I did not realize how many mutual friends we have, like Spencer Thomas and Schaefer Lana and Alabama hero legend, John Paul White.
Well, I don't know him personally, but we did write a song together.
Well, just to start out, tell me a little bit about where you're from growing up.
I'm from Boonville, Mississippi, so kind of the middle of nowhere outside of Tupelo. My dad's side of the family, like, they all played music, so it's kind of something I've always been around, and it's progressed.
Yeah, just listening to your songs, like, I can tell that you were brought up and raised around a lot of great music. I mean, just some of your song choices, whether it be the Strokes when you do a cover of them, or just some of the, even in your songwriting style, I can tell like there's a lot of influence on it. That'll come from your father? Or?
I mean, he does recommend me a lot of music.
Like, youngest memories is coming into music. Like, what were some of your earliest favorite bands as far as, like, influencing?
Well, when I was way younger, I had this where I was really into classic country. I was obsessed with Dolly Parton when I was, like, 8, maybe. And then I kind of didn't really care about music for a couple years. And then I got back into it, and I listened to a lot of mainstream country. Mm-hmm. But that eventually got more into like indie country, the sort of Americana, and I listened to a lot of people like Morgan Wade and Casey Musgraves. But and then it progressed into, I was listening to a lot of Phoebe Bridgers, and I got eventually just into indie music. So that's kind of
Phoebe is one of the queens of indie. Man, her influence is unreal.
She's probably one of my biggest inspirations for me musically.
So, what would make you want to start like picking up a guitar? How old would you say you was?
I think I was 12. I got one for Christmas. Got an Ibanez acoustic.
Was it a surprise or did you ask for it?
I really don't remember. But yeah, I didn't really play it for about a year. But once I did, I kind of just didn't stop.
I got you. What about like how you learn? Was you self-taught or?
My dad taught me like a few basic chords, and then I started just learning stuff online, like looking up tabs for different songs. And then I met Jimbo Mathis, and I got a few lessons from him, and that's.
They call it the Jimbo Boot Camp. Is that right?
I guess so.
He's out of Corinth, Mississippi.
Yes.
Like, so how did y'all meet?
He was actually just playing a show in Corinth, and me and my dad decided to go, and we met him after the show, and I just eventually just started getting guitar lessons from him, and that's kind of how everything is.
So would
been
you,
for me.
Would you meet Schaefer Lana through Jimbo?
I did, but I didn't meet her at that show. I met her at their Jackson show about a year after that.
Yeah, man, that's great. Like, first time I heard Schaefer sing, I was like, wow, she's incredible. And just that whole crew that Jimbo runs with right now, he's got a great crew. Wanted to talk to you a little bit about, like, some of the songwriting, like the early stages of it. Would it be, like, Jimbo kind of helping you out, your dad helping you out, or was it, did you figure it out? How did that come about?
I kind of started writing stuff, and I get really frustrated with it, and I have a lot of writer's block, where I go through a lot of writer's block sort of times of my life, and I won't write songs for months, but it kind of just started out, I would just write stuff, and then I just kind of gave up for a while, to be completely honest. And I only really started picking it back up maybe last year.
Like, I know just seeing, like, that you had won the songwriting competition at UNA, and the opportunity that came with that was to write with John Paul White. But, man, I totally get it. Like, when it comes to songwriting or even playing the shows, it's easy to kind of get bogged down. It's like, I don't really have anything to say. Where does a song come from? I was like, do I need to go out here and get my heart broken, or, you know, what's going on? But like, I guess just with you is like where the question is building up for me is, it just seemed like you popped up out of nowhere, and I just saw you were playing everywhere, winning songwriter competitions, and I was like, this girl is working hard. When did all this circuit start for you?
A couple of years ago, I played one of Hunter Meyer's open mics, and that was the first time I'd ever played in front of anybody. And I kept playing his open mics, and then I met Jimbo, and then it kind of just went on from there, where everything just progressed from there. And I just got really into music, like playing music. But I only started really playing a ton of gigs and shows this year, probably in April.
Oh, wow. That was right around Porch Talk or Porch Fest and all that then. I didn't realize it was that fresh. Like, I know, like, right when Hunter reached out to me and he was telling me about you, it seemed like, well, my goodness, if I wanted to book her, I don't know when I'm going to get her because she's always booked up. So, I mean, like, congrats on that. You know, with Alabama and Mississippi, I mean, it can be really hard to get your foot in the door and get running. So anytime, like, I see somebody really grinding and staying booked, I mean, it's not easy. So congratulations on that. But, well, tell me a little bit about the songwriting process. I know, like, two of the songs that you shared on your set today, one was a co-write with Schaefer Lana and the other was with John Paul White. Tell me about the song that won the UNA competition.
That one I wrote either at the beginning of this year or the end of last year. I was just kind of messing around. I like playing in alternate tunings, and that one's just an open D. And I was kind of just messing around with some chords, and I was like, oh, this sounds cool. And then I just started thinking about, like, past friendships and things like that, and I was like, well, maybe I shouldn't have wasted my time on that. On why did I waste my time on that person? And it kind of just, I just got all my feelings out about that and wrote that song.
Yeah, right on. Like, it won the competition, speaks for itself. I know Hunter was sharing, one of the songs that he shared on his set was a competition that Elvis Presley even lost one time down in Meridian. And he won with that. So I know a lot of times if you write a song, you take it to these competitions, you never know. Like, we have a songwriter competition coming up for Munson Brothers. And like, most of the entries, I've heard just samples. There's an 18-year-old kid that no one's heard of, and I think he's probably going to win. I'm not a judge, but I was like, thank God he entered, you know? Or, like, we wouldn't have known anything about it. So props to that. Tell me a little bit about, like, the John Paul White. Did y'all meet up in Florence to write, or how did that go? At his, was it Single Lock?
It was, I don't really know what the room was. I think it was one of UNA's entertainment industry buildings. But I kind of brought this song that I'd been really stuck on for a while. And I loved the first verse I wrote of it, the first couple verses I wrote of it. And I could not get anywhere else with it besides those few verses. But I was like, I cannot give up on this song. Mm-hmm. So I brought it to him, and he wrote the chorus, because I'm just notoriously terrible at writing songs without choruses. And it's... He wrote the chorus, and I was just kind of blown away by that. Because we were just, like, in a room. And I just showed him the lyrics, and... It kind of amazed me because it was way quicker than I could have figured out anything for that.
Oh, yeah. I'd say, like, that dude is a genius. I mean, I'm sure he'll be in the Hall of Fame that they have over there in that part of the country in North Alabama, Muscle Shoals, just for what he's done with music. I think it started with the Civil Wars, and now, I mean, he played at Mississippi State. And he brought an entire orchestra with him. And that was an incredible show. And I was like, I can't even wrap my mind around, like, working with that many people. And it being just perfect. It's nuts. Man, what is some, like, just going to shows? Like, is there a band that you've been a fan of that you ain't been able to see that you're going to hopefully get to see this year?
I'm not really going to a lot of shows this year.
Too busy playing your own, huh?
I went to a bunch last year, but I'm not really going to too many this year. I've got tickets to Shoals Fest in Muscle Shoals, and I've got it the second day, so it's Jason Isbell, Waxahachie, MJ Linderman. So.
Yeah, Waxahachie's killer.
I love her Tiger's Blood album that came out last year.
Yeah, a friend of mine, he was... they were just so happy. They were vacationing out in Portland, and Waxahachie just so happened to be playing there. And that's where the front man for Patterson Hood, the front man for Drive-By Truckers, he lives out in Portland. And just so happened, my friend was sitting right next to Patterson Hood, and they were both there because they're all from Alabama. It's like, well, it don't get more Alabama than this. And then between sets, Drive-By Trucker songs were playing, and he's like, did you do this? He's like, no, but it rules because Waxahachie is a great band. But that's pretty cool. Well, let's see. What about just down the road for you? Like, what are some goals that you are wanting to hit with your writing and even playing? What are some places you'd like to go?
I would like to go, maybe, I would like to play in L.A., I think.
I think your sound would be perfect for out there.
I really would like, because, I mean, I went there last year, absolutely loved it, and I would love to play a show there. I don't really know where, but I would love to play a show there. I'm playing in Nashville in a couple months, so that's checking off that box, because that was kind of when I really wanted
to. You want to go to the Bluebird?
It's at a restaurant on Broadway. They're doing a songwriter's show there.
Oh, very cool. When is that? Any idea?
September something.
Okay.
26th, I believe.
Cool. I mean, good for you. I've got a friend up there, Sean Byrne, and pro musician, but every musician's dream, and they rarely get to achieve it. He got to act, being a musician in a hit TV show for ABC, and so that was pretty nuts. But he caught the Red Clay Strays in Nashville, and this was probably 6-7 years ago.
Before they blew up.
Mm-hmm. And, like, he has this infamous Facebook post. Like, it's a picture of all the guys sitting in his kitchen. Because after that show that night, this was back when they were still driving around the country in their crappy van. And they didn't have anywhere to stay that night, and I think they were going to just try to make it back down to Mobile. He's like, no, y'all come stay with me. And they were all sitting around the kitchen. He said, in about 5 years, if y'all stick with it, y'all going to be just fine. And one of the hottest bands in the land now. So, you know, maybe that Nashville show will be, like, one of those moments. It's always good to get into new towns and, like, have new ears, new exposure. Really appreciate you coming out to Reform today to play this tour. Like, I'm kind of going for like a intimate kind of house show kind of vibe. This is a very private event. I do talk about it a little bit, but I don't tell a whole lot of people. It's just, I don't really want but 10 or 15, 20 people here, you know. Just keep it low key, like a little private little club show. But man, that's awesome. I mean, what else? Like, what are some other goals that you're looking for this year?
I'm really hoping to finish working on an EP, because I'm going into the studio to record some more songs to hopefully finish that up. Got a few recorded already.
What studio?
Zebra Ranch in Coldwater.
Oh, cool. Very cool. I don't know if he's going to be using those Jimbo Connects.
That's where he's.
That's his place. Has he still got the goat hooves? A buddy of mine, this has been years ago, Daniel Sharp down in Philadelphia, Mississippi. Jimbo recorded one of his songs, and they were listening back to it, and Jimbo just had this wild idea. He said, you know, I think for percussion on this song, it needs goat hooves. And he brought out a pair, and he started, like, doing percussion. Like, with that. I was like, well, only Jimbo.
Well, I don't know where he'd get a pair of goat hooves, but...
It's kind of funny, but
if anyone was going to, it would be him.
Yeah, it definitely would be. What about for the future? Have you got a venue that, you mentioned like Nashville, checking that box. Like, where is what is your dream venue if you could play one?
Dream venue. I don't really know. I haven't put too much thought into that before.
Okay. A lot of people go with Red Rocks. I like the Ryman, the old Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah. Yeah, that place is great.
I've
been there a few times.
Who'd you go see?
I was there a couple weeks ago, and I saw the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, and I saw Morgan Wade there a couple years ago.
Oh, cool. Yeah Yeah Yeahs. That's a great band.
One of my favorite bands.
I had never heard of those guys, and I think it was Guitar Hero. They had their song Maps on it.
I play that one at pretty much the end of all my shows.
And, I think that video game was probably one of the greatest things that could have happened for them for exposure. It's like anytime you get, if you have an opportunity to have your, like, song in a TV show or whatever, number one, that's going to be, like, that's going to be checks in the mail for all eternity. And then also, it's like a friend of mine, she's, one of their first records was recorded at Fat Possum, but the Heartless Bastards, Erica Winterstrom. There was a show called Friday Night Lights, and the grand finale of the first season was the Heartless Bastards playing at a cabin for that show. And, like, that just did so much for them because it was a football show, but then you had the Heartless Bastards, like, doing, like, this cool house show as an ending scene to the grand finale of the series. But just opportunities like that. Man, that's the kind of stuff I think about. I was like, man, if I could write a song, I just want it to be on the TV. Or just some, I want it to be on a commercial. I want to write a commercial jingle. What about we talked a little bit about the recordings you have going on. Like, how long do you think it'll be until some of these things will be live and on Spotify or wherever else for people to stream it?
Maybe the earlier part of next year, first half of next year, is what I would hope.
How many songs? It's going to be 5 or 6?
Probably. I haven't really decided all that yet, but.
Well, right on. I can't wait to hear it. And working with Jimbo, I know it's going to be good. I was going to do 3 more questions, and we'll wrap this up. Once again, Elliot, thank you so much for your time today. And
yeah, thank you for having me.
Playing the clothes on Sundays and taking me up on a Porch Talk interview. So first question is like other creative outlets for you. We have a thing at the open mic that I host at Munson and Brothers is like one thing I try to tell the guys is if you're having a hard time putting pen to paper, read, and if you feel like you're underthinking, write. Or I might have said that back, but you should always be in a cycle of reading somebody else's work or you're trying to work. You a big reader, or like what are some other things like you kind of try to do creatively to keep the juices flowing, so to speak?
I mainly try to devote a lot of my creative energy to music. I've been trying to get more into reading, but mainly it just all goes to music.
Yeah. What's some of your favorite subjects with when you read? Like,
I mainly read like memoirs. That's what I've mainly been reading. I have this superstition where I carry around Just Kids by Patti Smith with me all the time, or I've convinced myself that I will play a bad show if I don't bring it to all my shows with me.
Is it in the room with us right now?
It is. It's
very cool. I've got a friend of mine over in Birmingham, Will Stewart. He wrote, he reads a lot, and, like, his songwriting, like, it's like a story. Like, that was the first thing I noticed. He's got a great album. It's called County Seat, and one of the songs on that album is called Brush Arbor, and it's a beautiful song, but it's about snake handling and snake handling churches. And one day, I call him, and I was like, where'd that song come from? I was like, because where I grew up, like, I was right down the road from a snake handling church, but like by the time I was a teenager, like the congregation quit doing it or they all died out. I'm not sure what happened. And I was like, did you grow up around snake handling? Like, how did you know about a brush arbor? And he was like, I read this book. It was called Salvation on Sand Mountain. And then like lo and behold, like when I've spent more time with Will's work, like, a lot of the stories and a lot of the songs that he was writing was coming from these books. And I mean, they're just great, like, songs, and just capturing so much with just 3 minutes, like a whole book, you know. And I have no idea how he does it, but I always thought, I was like, I need to read more books like autobiographies and memoirs and things like that, just to kind of walk the skin of another human being. Any other creative outlets that you like to do? You draw or anything else like that?
I'm not really artistic in that way.
Yeah.
It's just mainly all to music.
It's just music. Well, very cool. What about like other interests or hobbies, or is it just you just focus 100% on the music?
Mainly. I feel like I annoy everyone with like how much I talk about music, and I feel like I probably, it's the main thing. It's what I kind of center my life around, just every aspect of my life. So.
Well, very cool. Last question to walk out the door is for those listening or watching, if they wanted to keep up with you and where your shows are, what is the best social media for them to kind of follow and just keep track of where you're going to be?
I mainly post on my Instagram, elliot.devon, but there's links to everything on my website, elliotdevon.com.
Perfect. elliotdevon.com, and I'll put that in the show notes. Anything else to do before we walk out the door? Anything else you'd like to share? Well, perfect. Elliot, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
How was that?
Cool. That was stressful.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.